when you probably gathered from the hymns, doesn't take a genius to work out that the theme this morning is shepherd. And really the theme for today is Jesus as the shepherd, and then this evening Jesus as the lamb. And you think, how can you be a shepherd and a lamb? A shepherd, a human being, and a lamb, an animal. It's sort of quite absurd. It sort of sounds, you know, something a bit science fiction-like. But I mean, today, isn't it? You know, people can pretend or say that they are like a cat or something, and then they have the big belief about it. You know, that's the kind of world that we live in. And I think there was a college nearby that somebody said that they were a cat, and then a couple of pupils sort of said, you know, said that they're not a cat, they're a girl or a boy, you know. And the teacher reprimanded the ones who were speaking sense and saying that person's not a cat, that person is a human being, a girl or a boy. It's crazy, isn't it? Long are the days when you can be a little child and you can sort of, when you're very young, you pretend to be Batman one day. And then perhaps, you know, the next week, you're Spider-Man. But then you grow up and you become a doctor or an architect or something like that. But our Lord Jesus, of course, did take these titles, shepherd and a lamb, but also, of course, and we also read about the door mentioned in our reading, and he said, the bread of life, light of the world, the vine. Of course, our Lord is not literally a door, like we've got there, or a vineyard, but it's a spiritual picture, isn't it, of his ministry. And Jesus would often speak, wouldn't he, in parables, often described as an earthly story used to express heavenly things. But this morning I just want to think about the shepherd and then a lamb this evening. So Jesus as the shepherd this morning. Perhaps there's four sort of references. And the first reference is my shepherd. And we have that, of course, in Psalm 23 that we sing about twice. And we're very familiar, aren't we, with Psalm 23. And I've sort of combined an anonymous poem and also some bullet points from Spurgeon to sort of describe some of the things in this 23rd Psalm. So just sort of, and the poem, the phrase, it's a short phrase for each description of the line, begins with the word that's. You might have heard it. It's the writer, I don't know who the writer is, it's anonymous. So in Psalm 23, this Psalm of David, we have, the Lord is my shepherd. And the first sort of heading really regarding my shepherd, or this 23rd Psalm, is that's relationship. That's relationship. And can we say that ourselves? That the Lord is my shepherd. And not just mine and nobody else's, but can we say, each of us, yes, the Lord is my shepherd. I have a relationship with the Lord. And I shall not want, I shall not want or lack. And that's supply. That's supply. The Lord will give us all that we need. We shall not lack what we need. And Spurgeon said, firstly, here we have a believing heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. Then he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. Imagine sort of lush green pastures and being able, perhaps on a nice sunny day, to be able to lie down on that warm grass and enjoy the sun and bathe in those lush green pastures. And Spurgeon just says of that, secondly, here we have a meditative heart. A meditative heart. It's good, isn't it, to be still and to be able to meditate, to consider, ruminate on what the Lord has done for us. Then he leadeth me beside the still waters. That's refreshment. And he restoreth my soul. That's healing. Remember David and his soul, the joy of the Lord, his soul's restoration after his behavior regarding Uriah and his adultery with Bathsheba. And the Lord gave him again the joy of salvation. And there are times, isn't it, that we need to be restored because we're struggling, maybe backslidden, and the Lord heals. And so he leadeth me beside still waters, he restoreth my soul. And Spurgeon summarizes it as a humble heart. We need humble hearts, don't we? Humble hearts. It's not about us. It's about the Lord, isn't it? And we're here, aren't we, to glorify God. That's why we're here upon the earth. And he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. God will lead us not down some wrong way. He will lead us in the right way. Of ourselves, we're prone, aren't we, to go our own way. Or we like sheep. Thinking of the shepherd and the sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. And for his name's sake, that's purpose. Is ultimately, isn't it, about God's glory. That's why we're here. Here upon earth. As the catechism, the first question in the catechism says, man's chief end or aim is to glorify God and then enjoy him forever. And so he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And Spurgeon summarizes that as a holy heart. We need a humble heart, don't we? a holy heart. We're not perfect, we're far from perfect, but may the work of sanctification be done in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And the poem said, that's testing. I will fear no evil. That's protection. For thou art with me. That's faithfulness. The Lord won't leave us, will he? He won't leave us and do something else or... No. He's always with us. That's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's discipline. The rod and the staff can be broadly categorized as tools of protection and guidance, respectively. The rod warded off predators. The staff was a guiding tool with a hook on one end to secure a sheep around its chest. So only the two tools together provided comfort to the sheep. Both were needed, the rod and the staff. And those words, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's not death, it's the shadow of it, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Spurgeon puts that point as a brave heart. A brave heart. Then we have, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup runneth over. That's abundance. And if we know the Lord, there is a fullness of joy in knowing the Lord. Even in tough times, we can know a wonderful fullness of the Lord. And a fullness in every respect. You know, the Lord is not sparing in what he, or mean in what he gives. He gives, he gives, he gives again. He knows what we need. That's important, isn't it? The things that we need, the things that we want, may not be good for us to have, but the Lord knows what we need. Psalm 23, verse 5, that I just read, means God's abundant blessing, favour and protection, symbolising joy, healing, consecration and spiritual provision. Much like a shepherd anointing sheep to repel insects and soothe wounds, creating peace even amidst enemies. It signifies being chosen, set apart, cared for by God with blessings overflowing. And we have there mentioned in verse 5 again at the beginning, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You think of sort of a little table in the field, the shepherd provides for the sheep to eat off, because their enemy, I mean, you can say their enemies are like foxes and wolves, and which we've read about in John chapter 10, but there are the little insects and mites in the soil, and if the food is on the ground, then they can end up eating these mites, so that those enemies they can eat. But if they eat off the table, a raised platform, then they're safe from those little mites and things like that. I remember hearing that some while ago concerning that verse. So thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Spurgeon said, a contented and grateful heart. And that's good, isn't it? If we can, despite all that's going on in our lives, we have contentment, we have thanks in our hearts for what the Lord has done and what he is doing. And then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security forever. That's eternity. And Spurgeon summarizes that phrase, or that verse, as a constant heart. A constant heart. There's so much in the world, isn't there? So much change going on. And in our own lives, you know, just go from one thing to the next. But may there be that constant heart, that our eyes are fixed upon the Lord at all times, regardless of all that's going on in our lives, all that's going on in the world, and there's so much going on in the world at this time. Well, I've got four of these shepherds, and we've only just looked at the first one. That was perhaps the longest one. So, my shepherd. The second one, referred to our reading in John 10, and the good shepherd. The second shepherd is the good shepherd. And, well, I won't read through John 10 again, but we have several times shepherd, and the good shepherd is mentioned. And also how the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And that's mentioned quite a few times, about the shepherd giving his life for the sheep and laying down his life. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Yes, the Lord was put to death by wicked hands, but it was all in the purposes and at the timing that God the Father determined. It wasn't according to the purposes of those who put him to death. He laid it down of himself. He had power to lay it down and then to take it again. And that makes the Lord a good shepherd, isn't it? Because the Lord Jesus Christ died for his people. It's a wonderful thing to be. Yes, I am a child of God because Jesus Christ died for me. He lived and he died for me. I mean, if somebody is, if you're in a blazing house, and then you're rescued, you are very thankful, aren't you, to that person who sort of rescued you from that fire to save you from dying, or at sea or something. You know, a lifeboat comes along and rescues you, and you're eternally grateful, aren't you, and thankful for that person or those people saving your life. But that's sort of your body. But they can't do anything about your eternal, never-dying souls. And that's where the Lord Jesus comes in, isn't it? The one who lived and died for his people, that we might be forgiven, and that we, being forgiven, then can know peace with God and life eternal. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ who can forgive us and can give us eternal life and do anything about saving our souls. People can save your body in different ways, whether in a fire or at sea, or just perhaps when you go into hospital, sort of perhaps save your life in a way after you had a heart attack or something like that, or whatever. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ who saves, and the only one who can save our never dying souls. As I said, the purpose of man, isn't it, to glorify God, that we might enjoy him forever. And we can only, and we can enjoy the Lord forever if we know the Lord as our good shepherd and the one who has forgiven us and saved us. Isaiah 40:11 says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." There's a gentleness, a kindness, isn't there, about this shepherd? Well, you know, obviously a shepherd, and in the normal sense, is very kind to his sheep. Not to the wolves and things, but to the sheep. Kind, and knows them very well. As we read there in John chapter 10, about he knows his sheep. They know his voice. Again, it's a relationship, like at the beginning of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. So it's a wonderful passage that in John chapter 10. And may we know that forgiveness of sins, may we know that we're going to heaven because Jesus Christ lived and died for us, for me, to be able to say that. As I said, can we say the Lord is my shepherd, and he's a good shepherd? And then the third one, and these last two are just basically just looking at a verse. The third shepherd is a great shepherd, and this is often used, isn't it, perhaps as a benediction in a service. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. "Now the God of peace." It's lovely, isn't it? In this world of so much disquiet, to know God as a God of peace, and to know that we're at peace with God because of what the Lord has done for us, and we recognize our sin, and we can't make peace with God ourselves. We need the Lord to do it. "Now the God of peace have brought again from the dead." That's our Lord Jesus. That's it. We worship one, we serve one who is alive. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive. Not some sort of statue. Remember readings. Seeing a picture, it's quite a long time ago. It was a very sad picture. There was some flooding somewhere. Somewhere, I think it was in Asia. And there was these pictures of people escaping. And there was this one person who was carrying his big, a statue of, I don't know, it was sort of his God. Carrying this, it's as though we need to take this with us because that's not God's going to help you, that statue. We're going to do anything for you. You need to repent. You need to turn to the Lord, the true God, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who controls the wind and the waves and all that happened with this flooding. And it was a very sad picture, as though, I've got to take this with me, because this will help me in the future. No, it's just a statue of whatever material it was that it was made of. Now the God of peace had brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. We won't be perfect in this life, we'll, of course, far from it. In glory, yes, but not now. But there's, often with perfect, it's kind of like a completion. And God will do a good work in his people. He begins a good work and he will perform it, or he will perfect it, or he will complete it. Working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. And again, to whom be glory forever and ever. Yes, the glory belongs to the Lord. I saw some picture of somebody and they had a t-shirt on which said, "Look at me." No, I don't want to look at you. I want to look to the Lord. And you need to look to the Lord too. It's not about you. It's about the Lord, isn't it? As I say, the only one who can save us from hell and save us for eternity is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who lived and died for his people and rose again. As I said, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. So we have a great shepherd. And finally, fourthly, a chief shepherd. And in 1 Peter 5:1-4 we read, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God." That's the job, isn't there, of pastors and preachers, to, you know, the sort of under-shepherds, aren't they, described? "Feeding the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre." "Well, I'll do that, but you need to give me all this money and I'll do it for you." No, but willingly, "not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." It's not a case of a pastor or a preacher sort of saying, "Well, I'm better than you. You know, I'm here, I'm sort of standing up, or in my case, sitting down, and I'm superior to you." No, not at all. That is not the case at all. We're all workers together, aren't we? And we are the Lord's, but sinners saved by grace, and we're all sinners by nature, aren't we? But can we say that we are sinners saved by grace? And that verse ends in 1 Peter 5, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Yes, he will come again. Yes, the Lord came, and he lived, and he died, and he completed the work of saving his people. But then it said he rose again, and he went back to heaven, and he's going to come again. And may we be ready. We don't know when it will be, and we don't know when he will call us. But we need to be ready. And that's the thing, isn't it? That the Lord will come back one day. And that's something to comfort us, that he will return one day and bring all things to an end, and all his people, all those chosen before the foundation of the world, they shall have been saved, and then will be with him in glory. And that forevermore shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Not a sort of crown because we deserve it. We don't deserve it. But all the glory goes to the Lord. And we'll see this evening, I've sort of chosen particularly one or two hymns and references this evening, particularly about the worthiness of our Lord Jesus Christ. But that's for this evening. But we'll just end the thoughts there. So may we know that the Lord is my shepherd, that he's a good shepherd, he's a great shepherd, he's a chief shepherd, and he will one day appear, return to the earth. And may we be ready for his coming or his calling. Amen.